the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for joining us today here on AgNet West Farm City Newsday. Starting off today's show with a California Farm Bureau Food and Farm News report. CFBF is advising farmers and ranchers to take care to manage their stress as agriculture faces devastating drought and water supply cuts, as well as wildfire and continued impacts from the pandemic. Farm Bureau President Jamie Johansson says, quote, "There has been a concerted effort to consider our members' health because of what we've experienced in the last 3 years that has brought on tremendous amount of uncertainty." Moving right along into today's program headlines, Brian German is talking with us about a recent announcement that will hopefully provide some relief for the transportation of goods. Also in today's show is this week's Almond Update, discussing registration for the Almond Conference as hotel accommodations open up in just a few days. Before we hear those details, I'm starting off today's program with details on why gas and diesel prices are at the highest point in 7 years. Let's jump right in. When it comes to fuel prices, the new norm that we saw in 2020 has continued for most, if not all, of 2021. COVID-19 case counts continue to dictate where oil prices move, and meanwhile, demand for oil and the price of oil have rebounded from the low points we saw last year.
Oil production is lagging behind the recovering demand, and that may continue to be the case for the weeks and months ahead. Of course, now we are in the midst of hurricane season.
Patrick DeHaan with Gas Buddy noted that typically OPEC dictates where oil prices go, but he says OPEC is now chasing the market.
They don't want prices to go up too much, but of course they're happy that prices have gone up compared to last year. But it is kind of a cat and mouse game where demand goes up and then OPEC reacts and raises production. But now with COVID surging here in the last few weeks, the question I have is, will OPEC adjust downward its oil production numbers and in light of the increase globally that we're seeing as a result of the Delta variant?
DeHaan added U.S. consumers have seen some of the highest gasoline and diesel prices in the past 7 years. NAFB contributed to that report. And now let's take a listen to this next report. Here's Brian German.
Recent announcements are providing some relief for producers who need to get their goods transported. The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration is again extending the hours of service exemption for livestock haulers. The latest exemption will run through the end of November. The announcement comes after significant advocacy by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and other ag groups, highlighting the need for more flexibility when it comes to the transportation of livestock. Caltrans has also extended the deadline for special transportation permits for increased weight limit for trucks carrying perishable ag products. Permits will be valid for 60 days from the effective date of the permit or until December 31st, and will be valid on California state highways, excluding interstate highways and certain bridges. The permits will allow for an additional 2,000 pounds for a single axle, 5,000 pounds for tandem or greater axles, and a maximum of up to 88,000 pounds gross vehicle weight. I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. And in more agriculture news, Small Business Association Week is coming up. I've got the details on how you can participate. The Small Business Association announced its National Small Business Week Virtual Summit event taking place September 13th through the 15th. Highlighting the resiliency of small business owners and entrepreneurs overcoming challenges the past year and a half, the theme of this year's summit is celebrating resilience and renewal. SBA Administrator Isabel Casillas Guzman said in a video message, quote, "Over the last 16 months, we've seen the incredible determination and ingenuity of small businesses across the nation. During NSBW, we will honor and celebrate their impact on our economy and strengthening of communities as we look toward recovery." The virtual event is free and will have several panel discussions over the 3-day period. Those discussions will allow business owners the chance to gain advice from experts, learn new business strategies, connect with industry efforts, and network with other business owners. Monday's session will cover getting back on track and the resources to help you build back your business better. Tuesday's sessions will cover how to better serve the small and underserved business communities. And Wednesday will wrap up the summit with sessions on continuing resilience through the pandemic. Folks can view the entire schedule session lineup and register for the summit by visiting www.sba.gov/NSBW. And in more agriculture news, what are some of the findings in a recent USDA study looking at commercial honeybee pollinator transport services and their economic impacts? USDA's Rod Bain has more.
30% of all commercial U.S. honeybee hives are transported to the northern plains from other states at the conclusion of the pollination season. One of several findings of a recent USDA study on honeybee colony transport via pollinator services.
When the weather turns colder, the hives are generally moved out of the Great Northern Plains and into warmer states in preparation for the almond bloom. So there really is truly a seasonal flow.
Economic researcher Jennifer Bond says another finding is
the intensity of use of pollination services really varies by crop, and not only by crop, so not just between almonds, apples, and pears, but also by crop in different regions. So the intensity of use of pollination services in Maine, for example, to produce blueberries may vary considerably from the intensity of use that we found to produce blueberries in Oregon.
She adds, while almonds are the nation's seventh most valuable crop, it represents the largest pollinator service market for honeybees. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
And it's time for us to head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports, including our livestock report from Randall Wiseman when we return. I do want to quickly remind you that if you've missed any of our morning shows, or if you just want to catch the news at a different time, you can always subscribe to our podcast. It's called Farm City Newsday. You can download it wherever you download your other podcast app. It's available on both Apple and Android devices. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headlines, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. The monthly ag economy barometer rose 4 points in August to 138. The modest rise was primarily attributable to an improvement in the current conditions index, which climbed 9 points to 152. The index of future expectation rose 2 points to 132. Although the barometer and its two key sub-indexes improved in August compared to July, all three indexes remained well below readings posted this last spring. The barometer follows USDA's report that farm net income and expenses are rising, and producers are becoming increasingly concerned about rising input costs. On the August survey, 39% of respondents said they expect input prices to rise by 8% or more, up from 30% who felt that way both in June and July. One in five producers expect farm input price inflation to exceed 12%. Additionally, a majority of corn and soybean producers expect a significant rise in farmland cash rental rates for 2022. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. Tossing it right on over to Randall Wiseman with today's livestock report.
Well, in today's livestock news, livestock producers utilize federal lands for grazing, and in turn, they provide a needed management benefit to these public lands. With more on that story, here's Rod Bain.
Livestock producers and those in the livestock sector, like Caitlin Glover of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, realize the public at large may not understand the significance of federal lands to their operations, particularly in the western U.S.
Federally managed lands are incredibly important to a number of western operations, whether you're talking about cattle or sheep production in the west.
Or because of federal ownership, the number of regulations livestock producers must operate under on federal lands via multiple use permits.
Cattle producers, sheep producers do have to abide by not only the conditions of their permit, and they pay for the ability to access those landscapes, but they also abide by a number of federal regulations, whether you're talking about the Federal Land Management and Policy Act or the National Forest Management Act or the National Environmental Policy Act or any number of other federal rules and regulations. This is a pretty stringently managed program, but it's managed for the benefit of the landscape.
Yet Glover notes that ranchers with these permits to graze on federal lands and the livestock with access to such acreage play a significant role in land management.
Ranchers do engage, and they are sort of the front lines of the management of some of these areas. When they put their cattle or their sheep out on these landscapes in those allotted numbers that are managed by the federal government, determined by the federal government. But really what you see is this really cooperative relationship between ranchers, between local communities, and between federal authorities to manage those grasslands, to make sure that there's not only enough grass for livestock and for other uses, but also enough forage for wildlife and for some of these other non-livestock, non-domesticated species.
Ranchers using federal lands for grazing also participate in several farm bill programs related to conservation and livestock.
What you're seeing is a pretty careful managing of these landscapes to make sure that the uses are balanced. This is incredibly important when you're talking about federal landscapes as well, to make sure that these lands are managed for a variety of needs, a variety of uses, and make sure that the landscape remains healthy as well.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. And the National Cattlemen's Beef Association is offering college students a unique opportunity through their annual convention internship program. The 2022 Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show will be held in Houston, Texas, February 1st through 3rd. NCBA will be selecting up to 18 interns who will be responsible for setting up the indoor arena, assisting at committee meetings in Cattlemen's College, posting on social media, and contributing to the NCBA booth. Student interns must provide their own transportation to Houston and be at least a junior level college student in an accredited university at the time of the event. If you'd like more information, go to the NCBA website, ncba.org. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West.
The annual Kearney Alfalfa and Forage Field Day is set to take place in person at the Kearney Agricultural Research and Extension Center in Parlier on Thursday, September 23rd. Cooperative Extension Agronomy and Nutrient Management Farm Advisor for Fresno, Kings, and Tulare Counties, Nick Clark, said the event will cover a variety of topics.
We start the day with a field tour, and in the field tour, we look at ongoing research projects related to alfalfa production and other forages. And then when we return from the tour, it's just a couple hours of indoor presentations. And in there, we'll be talking about other issues related to forage, such as, you know, nutrient management, pest management, and then also have an update from someone at the Fresno County Ag Commissioner on pesticide regulations. And I think one of the great things that we really like about this meeting is that we're able to offer continuing education credits for people with California DPR licenses, certified crop advisors in California, and also growers who need their nitrogen management certification. It used to be called the CURES program, but now it's called the CDFA INMP Nitrogen Management Program. So we hope to be offering all of those units for attendees who need continuing education for their licenses as well.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
And it's that time where we head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news and farm features when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal-Tosner. Right on over to Brian German with this week's Almond Update.
Today's specialty crop news brought to you by the Almond Board of California. You can find them online at almonds.com. We're here again with industry relations specialist with the Almond Board of California, Rebecca Bailey, to get an update on the 2021 Almond Conference coming up here in December. Now, we spoke about a month ago about registration opening, so we just wanted to check in and see how the planning process is coming along and maybe if there's been an update or adjustment to the program so far.
Yeah, well, as mentioned last time, so we are planning for an in-person conference in downtown Sacramento at the newly renovated Safe Credit Union Convention Center, December 7th through 9th. As far as the agenda goes, we are getting really close to having all of our sessions confirmed. So I hope to have an update on specific agenda topics soon. But in the meantime, we do have kind of a preliminary agenda outline that's available to view on almonds.com/conference. If you just click on the agenda tab once you get to that page. And this agenda, again, won't have specific session detail. But similar to years past, for those who have attended conference, there will be roughly 24 breakout sessions ranging from everything from water supply challenges and solutions and rootstock selection to global marketing campaigns around the world and looking at how food safety within the almond industry has evolved over the past 20 years. So again, there's really something for everyone. We will have four session tracks running simultaneously. But again, don't worry, because if you aren't able to attend a session that's competing with another session, we do plan to post everything online the week after conference. So for anyone who misses out on any session, those will be available to view on our YouTube channel. And then aside from the more specific breakout sessions, we will have three general sessions, which are larger sessions where everyone can come together. The first one of those is the State of the Industry, which will kind of kick off conference on that Tuesday, December 7th. And then we'll have a lunch session with a keynote speaker on Wednesday, December 8th. And then we will have a lunch session with a keynote speaker on Thursday, December 9th. And I don't have specific details on those yet, but we will soon. So stay tuned. And then, of course, we're bringing back our annual gala celebration to round out the conference, which will take place Thursday, December 9th. So all of those, the lunches and the galas, of course, conference is free to attend and register. But if you want to add on the lunches or the gala, those are paid ticketed events, and you can do that when you register.
Very cool. And of course, registration is open, so people can get on that now and start making the necessary arrangements. And it sounds like people will probably want to check the website every so often just to see as this process moves forward and more of the details get finalized. And now, because COVID is still an issue, I'm assuming that's probably a big part of the conversation as this planning process moves forward. So just as it stands right now, what's that situation kind of look like?
Yeah, well, you know, we obviously don't know what the guidelines will look like come December, you know, and things are just constantly changing. But we do know that the safety of our industry is our number one priority. And we plan to do all that we can to make sure that the conference is a safe and successful event for everyone who attends in person. So, you know, with that being said, we do plan to follow any county and state regulations that are in place at the time of the conference. So again, not sure exactly what that will look like at this point, but we are monitoring the situation closely. And, you know, we hope to know more within the coming month. And we'll plan to go from there and communicate what those guidelines are prior to conference once we know them.
Very good. And now with registration already having opened, we're sort of at another mile marker here as we start getting closer to the conference. It looks like the hotel registration is set to open next week. So let's get into that a little bit with the hotel arrangements that have been made for the conference and the fact that people will probably want to get on that sooner rather than later because those rooms generally tend to go pretty quickly.
Yes, definitely. The hotels are always a hot item, and the hotel blocks will open this coming Monday, September 13th, at 12 p.m. noon. And similar to what we've done in the past, we have worked with specific hotels in the downtown Sacramento area to block rooms at a discounted rate. All the hotel information will be posted to our website at almonds.com/conference. This coming Monday, the 13th at noon with all of the hotel contact information. So anyone can go on at that time, put that on your calendar, put a reminder on your phone, noon on the 13th, and go to the website where you can book your hotel directly with those hotels. So again, that's on almonds.com/conference, and you'll want to go to the hotels section of that page, and you'll be able to find all of the hotel information in the groups that we're working with.
Excellent. And now, lastly here, with some of the changes that have gone on at the convention center itself, were there any changes to the hotel situation, or are we looking at generally the same kind of hotel system that we've seen in years past?
Yeah, it'll be some of the same hotels that we've used in the past. That are extremely close to the convention center, and the process will be the same once that information is posted onto the website on Monday. There will be a phone number for the hotels that we're blocking with. There will be an online link, so you can just do them online with those hotels, and that will all be posted on Monday.
Very good. Again, Rebecca Bailey, Industry Relations Specialist with the Almond Board of California, giving us a heads up that the hotel rooms for this year's Almond Conference will become available this coming Monday, September 13th. More information is available at almonds.com/conference. Rebecca, thanks again for taking the time, and we look forward to seeing you at the conference in December.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Brian.
Thanks, Brian. It is time for us to head out for a short break, but just reminding you, if you'd like to catch a recap of any of the reports mentioned in our show today, or if you'd like to re-listen to this week's Almond Update, you can always head on over to our website. That's www.agnetwest.com for more information. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headlines, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. The American Farm Bureau Federation urges the Department of Agriculture to address supply chain issues facing farmers and ranchers. In a letter to Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, the organization details priorities for USDA to consider in response to President Joe Biden's executive order on America's supply chains. AFBF President Zippy Duval states, quote, "Our nation has witnessed vulnerabilities throughout the supply chain that haven't been seen before," unquote, due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Among the recommendations, AFBF asks USDA to consider actions on livestock markets and processing capacity, farm inputs, transportation, labor, and trade. The letter states supplies of farm inputs like crop protectants, fertilizers, and seeds have been difficult to obtain and expensive to purchase. Highway transportation of farm products and supplies is more expensive and less available today than pre-pandemic levels. And agricultural labor, both domestic and foreign, is increasingly difficult to access and expensive, making already small margins even tighter. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association is accepting entries for the NCBA National Anthem Contest through October 15. The contest winner will perform the national anthem at the NCBA 2022 Convention's opening general session, February 1, as well as the Thursday night NCBA event on February 3. The winner will also receive round-trip airfare to Houston, a hotel room for 3 nights, free NCBA convention registration, plus a pair of boots, jeans, and a shirt from Roper or Stetson. Any member of NCBA, the American National Cattlewomen, the Cattlemen's Beef Board, or family member are eligible to participate in the contest. Previous NCBA National Anthem Contest winners are not eligible. The top 4 finalists will be chosen by October 25, 2021, and videos will be posted to the convention website at convention.ncba.org. Voting will be open to the public until November 19, and the winner will be announced November 22, 2021. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leo. If you'd like to know if there were any changes in the household food security percentages year over year per USDA's annual look at household food security in our nation, USDA's Rod Bain talks with USDA's economic researcher, Alicia Coleman Jensen, in this report.
USDA's annual look at household food security in our country indicated
in 2020, the prevalence of food insecurity was unchanged from 2019. The prevalence was 10.5% of U.S. households. In 2020, 3.9% of U.S. households had very low food security, and that was not significantly different from 4.1% in 2020.
Yet USDA economic researcher Alicia Coleman Jensen says there were year-over-year increases in areas such as
the prevalence of household food insecurity, meaning that either adults or children or both were food insecure, increased for all households with children from 13.6% in 2019 to 14.8% in 2020.
Also,
in 2020, children along with adults suffered instances of very low food security in 0.8% of households with children. That's up from 0.6% in 2019.
Jensen goes on to explain the history and makeup of the annual report that's focused on food security in America.
We've been measuring food insecurity in U.S. households since 1995 with a survey, and we've been trying to assess the extent to which households are able to put enough food on the table for all their members. And so we have a consistent series, and this report examines data from December 2020. So it examines food insecurity in households in calendar year 2020. On an annual basis, we look at food security by different household characteristics. We also look at food insecurity across the states. We look at food spending by food security status, and we look at participation in nutrition assistance programs by food security status.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit AgNet West online at agnetwest.com. Get even more connected by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at AgNet West, and our team of Brian German at Brian German AgNet West and Danielle Leal with at D Leal AgNet West. This has been Farm City Newsday by AgNet West.